There's a new movie about climate change that's called Carbon Nation. Peter Burke produced and directed the movie that is not just the same old arguments from one side to the other about climate change, but is really more about climate change solutions. I've asked him to join me here today to talk about it. Hi, Peter. Welcome to America Weekend.
Well, thank you for having me. I appreciate it.
I should add here that when I say arguments between one side and the other, there is so little on the other side that the issue of is there climate change is really a question of man-made climate change and what can be done about it, which is what Carbon Nation addresses, right?
Well, yeah, well, we actually started the movie with the assumption that the argument was over and that it was clear that climate change was man-made and happening.
Right.
And what we found was there was a lot of really smart, cool people who didn't believe climate change was man-made, yet we're still doing really, really important work with regards to clean energy. And we've got a guy in our movie, his name's Bernie Carl, and he's revolutionizing geothermal power so that he could use it in just a ton more places with lower temperature water, make it more available to a lot more applications. And he doesn't think humans are causing climate change, and yet he's going to do more to solve it than I'll ever do. And what that made me realize was that, and then digging into it a little deeper, you realize that the climate change debate it's kind of artificial. It's a game plan that's been played out for decades by the industries, the fossil fuel industries, that don't want to change. And so they've done a really good job of sort of muddying the water and poisoning the well, very much in the same line as what the tobacco industry did. And so what's happened is you've got right now, what we have in our country is, I think, a lot of really good, smart people who have been bought into that whole poisoned well argument. And yet they're still smart and they still want clean air and clean water. So let's talk about clean air and clean water and good business practice and energy efficiency. And when you do that, you find out that we're not polarized, that we have huge, huge amounts of people who want the same thing. So it's really about storytelling and communication and respect and listening.
You know, I'm reminded of something that a friend of mine by the name of Joel McCower, who runs the Green Business Letter and greenbiz.com,
sure.
He has for years been talking about how many American and international companies and transnational companies have realized that even if they don't agree with certain environmentalists about this thing or the other, that following their recommendations can save these companies huge amounts of money. Companies like Anheuser-Busch saving so much money on aluminum by cutting down on the size of the lid of the can of beer. Walmart has become actually pro-environment because it helps their bottom line. And isn't that a great way, Peter, to appeal to the whole business world? Look, do it this way. Even if you don't care about saving the earth, you're going to save money.
Well, you're going to save money, and you're going to be more resilient. You're going to be a stronger company. And so, in a way, at a certain point, if a public company has to, they're beholden to their stockholders. At a certain point, I think a stockholder group's going to have to say, "Listen, you're committing us to a finite resource for powering our company. You're putting us at risk. That is not a good business decision." And you're seeing it with. You just listed a lot of really good companies. I mean, like Dow Chemical is not the company that most environmentalists would jump to say, hey, look at these guys, right? Although they do some really good environmental work. They also do some work that needs work, right? But they spent, from 1994 to 2010, $1.8 billion on energy efficiencies, and they saved $10 billion doing it. So that's just business,
yep.
Right? And then what happens is when you start pushing energy efficiencies, so now the folks in that company who are thinking along those lines, now Dow is working with the Department of Energy on like this really cool shingle that's going to be, it's a solar shingle, and they're pushing the efficiency and they have to hit all these milestones. I think the DOE has learned a lot about how they loan money and how they work with companies. So now they're making sure they have milestones hit along the way. They've learned from their mistakes and they're making it better. And so now this company, Dow, is going to push this so that, solar power is going to be very cheap and very available very soon.
Well, I certainly hope so, because we certainly need that. This is America Weekend. I'm Paul Harris talking with Peter Burke, who's the producer and director of the new documentary, Carbon Nation. This happens to be Earth Day weekend, as you probably know, Peter. And in your movie, you've got the guy who founded Earth Day, Dennis Hayes. But you also have Jim Rogers, who's the CEO of Duke Energy, one of the largest companies, going all the way back to, I think that they were the company in Harlan County, USA, versus the miners in 1970-something. So I'm curious about whether Dennis Hayes and Jim Rogers can ever agree on something in this movie.
Oh, absolutely. They both want a price on carbon, right? They want carbon to be taxed, or I don't know if Jim Rogers wants a specific tax. But, you know, it's cap and trade versus a carbon tax. I personally think with what you've seen in Europe, they've had the cap and trade, excuse me, for a few, I don't know, 5 or 6 years, 7 years. I think the carbon tax is a really good idea. It just simply puts a price on carbon and gives people incentives to move towards cleaner energies or pay the price for using carbon. And I just signed on to teach here at Arizona State University. And I've started a series of conversations called Carbon Nation Conversations. And our first one was with a woman, TJ DiCaprio from Microsoft. And she has spearheaded their installing an internal carbon tax inside of Microsoft, you know, massive Fortune 50 company, is now taxing its carbon, using that money to then push energy efficiencies in their business divisions. They're doing it. You know, and that's a very conservative company. If they're finding that that's a decision they're making, Disney does the same thing. Disney has an internal carbon tax. Even Shell puts a price on carbon in all of their scenario planning. I haven't met one CEO of any energy company, airline executive, NGO. I just haven't met anyone who doesn't want a price on carbon. So it's really, again, it's a question of leadership to my mind. All my libertarian friends want a price on carbon. They hate it when businesses can get away with not paying for everything that they're using. You know, they call that externalities. They want a price on carbon.
I'm curious, Peter, whether there's also an aspect to this, and I don't know if you address this in the movie, of national security.
Oh, yeah. Oh, absolutely. Yeah, we have a big piece on with the Defense Department, both national security inside U.S. borders and then anytime they're fighting a war. So within the U.S. borders right now, all the military bases are in this competition to be the first net zero energy, waste, and water base, where they don't use any energy they don't produce, or that they don't create any waste that they can't take care of, and they're incredibly, incredibly conservative with their water. That's every military base in the country, and that's going to make each base more resilient. We have a national grid that is old, therefore fragile. Therefore, a military base that's relying solely on the grid is actually at risk. And so that's internal national security. When you go out into the field and the forward operating base, if all their power is coming from diesel power, they got to get that fuel to the front line. And 1 out of 5 injuries in the 2 wars we're just closing down on were delivering fuel. People were injured delivering fuel. And so if you create a forward operating base that's solar powered, you don't need to deliver fuel. So all those helicopters and all that personnel, all those people that were delivering the fuel and guarding the fuel to get delivered and making sure their IEDs are cleared for that whole delivery, all those people now have the ability to do the mission at hand. So it actually is mission critical to get off of fossil fuel for the military.
You are making me very optimistic that all of these different people are going to come together and work towards the solutions. I know you address many of them in the movie. I wish I had more time to talk about it with you, but I look forward to seeing a screening of it, and I hope there are many more screenings across the country of Carbon Nation. The director, the producer, Peter Burke, thanks so much for joining me today.
Can I just tell the listeners where it's actually having our U.S. TV premiere on Monday on Current TV?
Okay. Terrific. Thank you for mentioning that, and thanks for joining me. I'm Paul Harris. That's my portion of America Weekend for today. Join me again tomorrow on the Envision Radio Networks.
Paul Harris. America Weekend.